Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and those very poignant lyrics were written by my guest today. And I think you're going to find the music that we are going to be sharing with you by Steve Killen and the Sapphire Band very moving. And again, his lyrics are very poignant and very, very powerful. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna. I appreciate you having me today.
Well, when I got your music and I saw, first of all, the cover on your CD, I was just absolutely blown away by the art. I thought it was some of the most incredible artistic design, and it is a blue heron that is, as your title says, sapphire crashing tiles. But the artist rendered this beautiful heron with such a powerful flow. It's like,
yes,
I'm just going right through. And, of course, the cover of the CD shows the tiles that the heron is breaking through. It's very dramatic, exquisitely beautiful. And I wanted to play that song in the beginning because inside the cover it says, I remember a time when we found ourselves beneath the crashing tiles. We're almost there. Let me hear your voices. Those words are very, very poignant. Steve, you've got such an incredible knack with lyrics. When you
write,
are you coming from that inner part of yourself that is going through a particular experience that you wrote? I mean, these words just about the children all only knowing war. Look at the way things are going on today. It's just so tragic. But at any given time, there's usually 22 wars going on the planet. What moved you to write these lyrics?
Well, actually, with the song Voices, I was trying to come up with a symbol that everyone could relate to. And children have this sense of innocence that we can all connect with. And so the thought of a child who's grown up in a warring nation, knows nothing but war, is such a tragic situation that we can all, and kind of draws the listener in to understanding what the song is about. Now the song is actually about, if you read between the lines, it's about personal accountability and us, you know, each individual person in the world having an equal say in the things that happen in this world, and that we're all equally accountable for wars and political situations and how we treat each other.
Mm-hmm. Very, very much so. You've been involved with a movie. This is a new movie called Tapping the Source. I hope somebody's going to send me a copy of it so I can review it. I understand you did the original score on
I sure did.
Tapping the Source. Now, has this movie come out already? I am not familiar with it, but is it already out, or is it something that's coming out?
Yes, it's out. We finished it back in November and did the premiere in L.A. We did a red carpet event down there, and it was released on DVD. You know, you can get it on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble right now. It's not something that's going to be released to the theaters, but it's a DVD for DVD only. And the movie is very interesting. It's about the producers of the movie, Bill Gladstone, Gail Newhouse, and Richard Greninger. They interviewed 112 of some of the most successful artists, scientists, authors, and different people around the world, gurus, spiritual leaders, and they asked them, what is the meaning of happiness, and how can we live in peace together? And it's a documentation of those 112 conversations. So it's really fascinating because these people, you know, are very successful in their own right, and they have some very interesting perspectives about the concept of happiness and what that means.
That would be a fascinating listen, and also to watch these people from all walks of life and from all positions of recognition. Steve, you are a man that has had a little bit of a diverse background. You say when you were a kid you had a severe speech disability. What kind of disability was that? Was it stuttering? What happened?
It's actually called a laryngeal stutter, and it's the same exact disability that King George VI had in the beautiful new movie, The King's Speech, that won all the Academy Awards. It's the same exact disability that movie depicts. And I had it, I started noticing it when I was about 9 years old, and I noticed it when I was giving a class book report in the third grade. And I got up there to read my book report, and I couldn't speak. And it was just terrifying. I mean, it was, you know, one of those experiences as a child where you just go, what is wrong here? You know, what's happening to me?
Mm-hmm.
And we searched out some help, went to see about 3 or 4 different speech therapists, and finally stumbled upon this gentleman by the name of Glenn Wabright, wonderful doctor. And he taught me a technique called easy speaking, which is basically like singing. So, you know, not only did I overcome my speech problem for the most part, I actually still have the speech problem, but I know how to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is what actually got me interested in music and connected me with the healing properties of music as well.
Well, I think music is a phenomenal instrument for transforming lives. And I
think
with the talents that you have at being able to write such beautiful lyrics and being able to bring thoughts through utilizing music, it's just incredible. Now, before the show, we only had a little bit of time to chat, and I told you that a member of my family had just experienced a heart attack and had lungs that had to be drained and all kinds of things, and we just were chatting very quickly, and you said that your song number 2 was, and it's called Calculated, was about your mom. And I know part of the lyrics were involving shifting eyes, life mundane, everything has a place. Tell us why you wrote that song.
Well, this song is an expression of the experience that my family went through at that time when my mom had a heart attack. And she also had just gone through a horrible divorce. So it's kind of a connection between the health problems that she had and tying it into how sorry I was for the time that she went through with her divorce. And it's also about my fear of losing my mother, because a mother is, you know, someone who you can never imagine losing. I mean, from the time that you're very young, I can't imagine being here on this earth without my mother. And so, mm-hmm. you know, it was kind of a cathartic song for myself, too, of, you know, that this is kind of a rite of passage that everyone has to go through, is it's facing our fear of death and losing our loved ones. So that's kind of where that song came from. It's one of my favorite songs on the album, and definitely one of my favorite songs to record on the album, because the guitar work was really fun to work on. So,
now, I really enjoyed your piece called The Other Way, and our engineer, Doug, is going to be playing about a minute and a half of it. So we're going to listen to this. We're going to play a few of his pieces mm-hmm. so that you can hear the lyrics and not only listen to the music and the tonalities and the various instruments, but also what he's trying to say. So it's not a lot of time, but we'll do about a minute, minute and a half of that. So, Doug, go for it. Number four, track four.
Cannot fall. Before my sight, a third could try. Rising colors fade to the sky. Sorry that your fingers tied to my balloon this morning. My master said, for who deceives, lies trouble waiting.
The other way. What prompted this? I mean, here you brought in reincarnation, your second life.
Right.
So let's talk about this.
Yeah, I'd love to. This song is actually it's about my spiritual path. And I've studied with a lot of different teachers. I've studied Buddhism and meditation for years. And this song is about realizing your own path. And, you know, despite the fact that other people might have different advice for you, to really stay true to your own heart and stay true to those places that you want to go as a spiritual being, as yourself, and learning to trust yourself. And that's really what this is about. When I say my second life upon this earth, what I'm actually referring to is when I discovered this kind of new power of learning to control my mind through meditation. And it was kind of a wake-up call for me, and that's what that symbol is actually referring to.
You have a piece in Sapphire, Crashing Tiles. You have a piece that is depicting modern life. And you have a number of unique tonalities that are in this piece. And I'd like for Doug to play it. It's track number six. And it's really a whole story, and I want to talk about this story when we come back. So let's listen to track number six of Sapphire, Crashing Tiles. And it is different, you know, it's just War Cries, I think is the way it's titled. So let's hear a piece of this.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Can you tell me which tune that was again, please?
I'm not hearing Doug play the piece, so I don't know if it is on there.
I'm sorry. Please tell me, what tune was that again? I didn't hear you.
Track number 6.
Oh, forgive me. I wish I could have heard. Thank you. I didn't mean to interrupt. Here we go.
I thought, this is so much today. We have communication on a level that is unparalleled in our known history. We have people sending, whether it's Libya or it's the middle of the Sudan, we have stuff playing across television screens, cell phones, what have you today. And it's almost as if people look at it like they do a Sylvester Stallone movie and say, oh, yeah, that's it. But what they don't realize is that it's really affecting all of us in so many ways. And if you go back through history, it really is mind-boggling when you look at how consistently mankind has, I don't care what race, creed, culture, doesn't make any difference, they've all had a part in this at one time or another. This is a very emotional piece when I was listening to it. Maybe it was just me. When you wrote this,
definitely.
Was it an emotional piece for you? And what triggered these lyrics? Because this is about a 10-year-old boy.
Right, yeah. This is about a 10-year-old boy. And actually, a few minutes ago when we were talking about the children who know nothing but war, mm-hmm. This is the song that lyric came from. So this is a more specific depiction of what that would be like. It's about the story of a 10-year-old boy who realizes one day when he wakes up, he's 10 years old, and he loses his father to war, and he realizes that there's actually a world out there that's not fighting. And it's his experience, it's his self-realization that he is not a fighting man. You know, he is a person who wants peace. And so it's his story about how the family had to hide in the basement and there's bombs going off. And actually, when we produced this song, I mimicked dropping bombs with my guitar so you can hear mm-hmm. Some of the sound effects that we imitated with the instruments. For instance, when we were in the studio, I told the drummer who was tracking the drum part, I said, see if you can make the drums sound like a helicopter. And I tried to make my guitar sound like dropping bombs, like I said.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the song is full of imagery, and the lyrics are about a 10-year-old boy who realizes that he's a peaceful man.
Mm-hmm. This is something that I don't think anyone, unless they have been exposed to a warlike environment at some time in their life really could, it's very, very moving. It's almost surreal. And again, it's sort of like watching a Sylvester Stallone movie, but you're listening to this. And your effects in it with the music tonalities are just amazing. And in Sapphire, because you have this image, and when I was scheduling you for the interview, I told you how much I enjoy the heron. And the blue heron was very significant to you. You've used that as your cover piece for this CD. Again, the art is just gorgeous. Why is the blue heron so significant? Why didn't you pick an eagle?
Oh, great question. Great question. When I was on a hike about 10 years ago, and I was with a really dear friend of mine, and we were having an amazing conversation, and I was standing on the edge of a cliff, and I was talking with him and just having this really, really amazing conversation about you know, developing yourself as a spiritual being and about war and about just how our society needs to grow and all these beautiful concepts. Not that war is a beautiful concept. I mean, the talking about it is a beautiful concept. And at that moment, when I felt like I was really getting my point across to him, this blue heron came out of nowhere and almost flew right into me. And it stopped and spread its wings, and there was this timeless moment that's forever burned into my memory about that experience. And it was a very moving experience for me. Ever since then, every company that I've owned, or, you know, a music group that I've done or anything like that, there's always been the heron in the symbol. My education business in Portland is called Heron Blue Music Education. And it's just, you know, I've studied blue herons since then. And the one thing I've come across with a few times is that the heron in Native American culture was known as the animal that comes in through the fog and gets the job done that it's there to do and then leaves through the fog. So it's this very mysterious being that kind of comes in like a divine figure, does its work, and then goes to the next world. And I really connect with that concept, you know, at the deepest, deepest parts of my soul. And so that's kind of why I chose the heron.
It's just exquisite. Now let's play another piece. And this is track number 8, and it's The Rented Life. And if I recall correctly, there's no vocal music for about not quite a minute and a half, and then it'll start to come in. So we won't be hearing that. But it's called The Rented Life. So let's listen to a little bit of that. Enchanted Life. What's that about? Was this an apartment special?
This is actually a poem. It's a poem written by my mom, and it's a poem that she wrote when she said goodbye to me on my way to college. And it's about, you know, one thing I wanted to say is that every song on this album represents a different form of loss. And the theme of the album overall is using those loss experiences and having a hopeful return and hopefully learning from those situations. So this song is about a mother saying goodbye to her two children as they go away to college. And I wrote the song out of respect because I just can't imagine being a mother. I respect mothers so much because they spend, you know, 18 years raising someone, and then all of a sudden they're supposed to wake up one day and just let them leave the nest. And mm-hmm. that must be, you know, a really difficult thing to go through. And so I wrote this song. It's, you know, it's a celebratory song. It's a happy song. But at the same time, it still has that kind of cathartic theme that I liked so much when I was writing this album. So
I can understand that. Dave Austin was said after he listened uh-huh. to this album, he said, "You're really able to express your inner creative self through your playing. Your knowledge and skills as a composer and songwriter act as mediums through which you're able to communicate clearly melodies and phrases with heart." I think that Dave Austin, and he is the recipient of the Grammy Merit Award. He's written a number of his own songs. That and a number of other people have such wonderful things to say about the music, and I agree. What's your latest that's going to be coming out? I mean, this is I should correct myself. This is the latest that you are promoting.
Yes.
But what's on your creative burner next?
Yes. Well, thanks for asking that. Thanks so much. We have a CD release party coming up in Portland, Oregon at a beautiful venue here called the Alberta Rose Theater, and that's on June 18th. And this event is actually a benefit for a charity that I'm involved in. It's called the City of Asylum Project, and what I'm trying to do is raise $30,000 for Portland, Oregon to sponsor a refugee from Tibet mm-hmm. to live in Portland and publish works about the oppressed nation that they come from. And this is a program that's sponsored by a nonprofit organization called Carpe Articulum Literary Review, and it's an international magazine, and they have a nonprofit organization that does this City of Asylum project. And I'm really passionate about this idea of giving refugees a voice. This album is about the world having a voice. The song Voices was written for people to sing together and celebrate life together. And I think that people who come from oppressed nations, people who try to speak out against their government and get either killed or put in jail for their entire lives or beaten or their families get taken from them, I feel that these refugees have it the worst and they need our help to have a voice in the world. So 50% of my earnings from Voices will go to this program through the entirety of 2011, which I don't know of another artist who's actually committed that kind of percentage to a charity, 50% of earnings. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, actually, when I wrote the song Voices, I decided that this song is not mine, it's everyone's. So actually, for the rest of my life, I'm going to donate 50% of earnings from that song to charity until the day I die.
Well,
yes.
That is quite a statement. Steve Killen, it is just wonderful having you as a guest.
Thank you.
When you come out with your next CD, I do hope you'll be sure to send me a copy so that we can let people know your way with words and imparting emotion with your musical tones, and that wonderful knack for writing lyrics that you have is just absolutely incredible. And do send me a copy of Tapping the Source, because I'd like to see it and talk about it on the show. It sounds like a phenomenal DVD, and whoever's in charge of that, tell them to get in touch with me, because I'd like to be able to show that, showcase that on the program.
I will shoot. I will shoot Bill Gladstone an email as soon as we get off the phone. Yeah.
What is your website so that people can find out more about your CD?
Thank you. It's sapphireband.com. That's SAFIREBAND.com. Also, we're featured on the homepage of ReverbNation.com this week, which is an amazing opportunity. And we have a profile there at ReverbNation.com/Sapphire Band. And then, of course, we have all of social networking, Twitter and Facebook pages at /Sapphire Band as well.
Well, you've just heard it there. Check him out, sapphireband.com, plus all of the other things that he has mentioned. Steve Killen, it has been a delight having you as a guest. I wish you nothing but the greatest of success in all of your endeavors, and especially the concert that's coming up real soon on June the 18th down in the Portland, Oregon area. Thank you very much for being my guest, and we're taking a break. This is Donna Sebo. Check out Sapphire, Crushing Tiles. It's fabulous music. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm so glad you're able to be with me today. When I have the opportunity to interview people like Steve Killen, it brings to mind how all of us have our talents. And when we communicate what we are perceiving or seeing in the world, and we walk our walk of what we feel we need to do in life, it's really special. And music is a very powerful instrument. And also, the instrument, well, the voice is an instrument. And to know what he went through as a young person, the difficulties he had to surmount. And here he is performing in front of people, and he still has the challenge with his vocal aspect. But by golly, he knows how to manage it. And I wanted to just touch on that for a minute, because so many times in life, we think we've got to be all, do all, and just be super colossal, whatever. So often with women, they say, oh, you got to be a superwoman out there. Well, let me tell you what, super women get burned out real fast. And I don't care what the cartoon characters do. Real life is very, very demanding, whether you're a man or a woman. And sometimes to be able to really empower yourself, you have to pull back and really look at what your strengths are. What is it that you're really the best at? What is it that, man, when you're out there doing whatever it is that you're doing, people go, whoo, I wish I could do what you did. I couldn't do what you do in a million years. And so often we talk down our strengths. So often we put our own mental heel into the gifts and talents that we have, just sort of grinding it into the negative thinking of it's not, gee whiz, it doesn't have any value. It does have value. I have been in and out of a hospital for the last few days, and it was because a member of my family went into a major cardiac arrest, and it was very, very serious. It started off with pneumonia, and was critically serious. And so here I am. I'm going in and out of a hospital, plus taking care of everything else on a daily basis. And I share this with you for a point. There's no way in the world that I would have been able to deal with the physical aspects of what the nurses in the hospital had to do for this member of my family. I just didn't have the knowledge. Yet, I found one of the things that was so important to these nurses and staff. The doctors you hardly saw, but the nurses, these are men and women who are with patients on an ongoing basis. They deal with the ones that are feeling cranky and miserable. They go through all this stuff. And I saw that just smiling at them, their eyes would all of a sudden light up. It's as if they shifted into a different mindset. When you have people that are dedicated in the healing arts and all they're seeing is pain, suffering, they're in the ER like I was observing, and they're responding, they've been trained, they go through all of this stuff, and there comes a point where they're so tired, and maybe somebody chops their head off, or maybe there's a doctor or that just is having a bad day. Maybe he lost a patient, and maybe they are having to deal with someone on the cleaning staff that's not doing their job, or things aren't being done in the proper way. This is their world. They're not seeing the happy, happy, happy stuff. They're seeing all of the difficult stuff. They're seeing the crying members of family. They're seeing fear. And many times they're scared too. But one of the things I noticed is that a smile made a difference. And when you take the time just to talk to them, and to be courteous to them, it's almost like a breath of fresh air. They're in such an intense environment. Now, I share that with you because you may not have the knowledge or skill of doing certain things that other people are capable of doing. I'm not a mechanic. God help you. If ever I tried to fix your washing machine or car, it'd never work again. You just need to realize that where you are, who you are, is significant. You are in this life for the purpose of bringing the best of what you have to the table. And if that means you make the best lasagna on this planet, make the best lasagna. Serve it with grace. Do whatever it is that you're going to do. If you have a knack of music, like Steve, my guest, has, this is marvelous. Then you use your talents in that way. It doesn't make any difference. But don't stomp yourself down because you cannot be perfect at everything. Life happens, and there's a lot of stuff in life that stinks. It is absolutely hideous to have to go through. But you can sit and wallow in self-pity or grieve over what isn't working, or you can say, let's be resourceful. Either I reach out to someone that knows how to do it, or I'm going to find out what I need to know, maybe where I can perhaps make do. But one of the things that is a very important lesson to learn, it was one of the most difficult lessons for me ever to learn, and that is don't ever be afraid you don't know how to do something. Don't ever be afraid to tell other people you don't know what to do and that you need help. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at how people will step up to the plate and say, let me see what I can find out for you. Let me see what I can do for you. They may not be able to do anything, but you'll know that you have a support there, and maybe you'll have something absolutely phenomenal occur to resolve a situation that you just think is impossible. Communication is so important. Communication is necessary. It is not texting and using your thumbs just to get a message across on a little computer screen. Communication is about reaching heart to heart, learning how to listen, learning how to communicate, and learning how to be open, and learning how to trust. All of this goes into the factor of communication. It makes your life richer. When you isolate yourself, you're not going to find that there's very much there for you. You know what? There's a lot in life to enjoy and to experience. Life can be stinking at times, but it doesn't mean it has to stay that way. And you can use a little bit of lavender with Clorox and scrub away what you don't want. But it's going to be the openness and the freshness and the clarity of communication that will make a difference in your life. That is absolutely invaluable. So whatever you do, don't put yourself down. Put yourself up. This is Donna Sebo. You can give me a call if you'd like to. 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if this is your first time listening to the show, I'd like for you to just know all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll be happy to give you my intuitive impressions. And after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. So again, 888-815-9756. I was astonished to see on television, I don't watch a lot of television, I don't have much time for it, but I happened to see something. I was busy in the kitchen and the television was on in the family room, and here is a vehicle that is being endorsed by VW that is, I think, being made in Japan. I could be wrong, but I believe that's what I heard. It was absolutely adorable. Now, it was only big enough for a person. I don't even know if you could stick a bag of groceries in this little thing. But this car could get over 600 miles to the gallon. I mentioned it to my husband. He hadn't seen this segment of a program, and he said, oh, you mean the motorcycle or the little scooter like the Europeans have been using for so many generations? And I said, no, this is a little car. So in the Pacific Northwest, it would really work because you have so much rain and so much weather type that you have to have something that's going to cover you up. You're just really taking your life in your own hands if you're doing the wheelies out in flood-related areas on a little scooter. So you want to have this car. And I said, it's just amazing. They have got it so that you and your tank is only like a gallon and a half, and it goes for almost 700 miles. And I thought, you know what? Here we've got all of this technology. Why is it that it takes so long for us to take what we can, already have available to us, and make it better? And lots of times what it is, it's gee whiz, this is the way it's always been done. Why bother? And so usually a tragedy has to occur or some big upheaval. People say, oops, well, maybe we ought to get this off of the old shelf and pull it out. This is what's happening relative to wind turbines. There are so many things that were used by farmers and people that were very innovative for years and years and years. And I know of people that were thinking of putting windmills effectively up on houses. Now, it's not the actual windmill like you typically see, but wind turbines. How can we do it so we could put it up on a house? And I thought, here we've got these huge, huge wind turbines that are out in different parts of the world. Denmark is one of the leaders in the world. In fact, instead of making them here in the United States, we're importing them from Denmark and other countries. But you can do something like this and generate power. What happens if the wind stops? Well, you better have an alternative. But there are places where this could be done. Well, apparently, the science of dealing with a single-family-size wind turbine is really getting hot because people are saying we need to look at some options here. We want to be able to generate energy in a different way. And once the wind, this one that I'm looking at, to me, is very archaic. It looks just like a weather vane with a wheel on it that you see on houses and farms out in the country. But this is very, very interesting because people are saying, what are we going to do here? How can we make what has been done on a big level, gigantic level, come down so maybe a household could utilize it? Well, that's what we need. So people are looking for localized power generation, which isn't going to cost them a whole bunch of money. Not going to have to build big plants. You can have it in your home and it will work for you when the wind blows. And trust me, up here in the Pacific Northwest, we've had plenty recently. We are known for that. So all of this information, it's out there. People are thinking. It's the doing and getting it in to the hands of the average household that will make a difference. And that's where innovation comes in, and that entrepreneur that says, I'm just going to go ahead, I'm going to do it, I won't make a lot of ballyhoo about it, but it's just going to walk its walk and demonstrate that what we're saying isn't just talk. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for a moment, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Maureen Seberg about tasting the universe. We're going to be talking about color and sound. Oh, it's so delightful. You really will enjoy it. And then next week, we've got a dynamic light-up. We're going to be talking about fit soul, fit body. Two men, Brand Secunda and Mark Ellen, are going to be with me on Monday, Life After Life. Ken Stoller is going to be telling about his journey and experiences, Magic and Grace by Filippi Francini. This is music that will touch your heart. It is absolutely gloriously beautiful, and he integrates various cultural sounds, and it's just wonderful. So he's going to be on with us next Wednesday. And The Courage Companion, Living Your Life with True Power by Mary Beth Sammons. And then Moneylicious, Ornella Rose. Going to talk about money, honey. Yes, it's good stuff, and we want to know that we're going to have more of it. Yes, we want to be able to demonstrate that we can make our lives richer and fuller so that we have freedom to do what we want. You know, that's really what money is. If you take a dollar bill and you look at it, it's only a piece of paper. It's only a symbol. That's all. But it enables you to be able to get what you want from someone else. It's a form of barter. So when you have an abundance of it, it's great. Be grateful you don't have to deal with a bunch of cows. Can you imagine taking a business deal and having a contract and flying 2,700 cows so that you can close the deal in New York? I don't think so. That doesn't work very well. It's a cute visual, but it's not fun in reality. So we have money. The Chinese invented it a long time ago, and it was in many cultures before. So this is something we just need to have a better a better feel about. Remember, it doesn't buy you happiness, it doesn't buy you health, but it gives you the freedom to choose what you want in your life, and that's important. I received something from a woman, Gail. She said there is a fact about some Chinese superstition, and I thought I would share this with you. In July of this year, there are 5 Fridays, 5 Saturdays, and 5 Sundays. 5 Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. And apparently, this happens only once every 823 years. Now, in the Chinese culture, apparently it's called money bags. So it is something that indicates tremendous prosperity. And it says, pass along the information, and apparently you're going to have the money coming to you. All right. So I had a cute little note from Gail. She said, when I was sent this, I said, I'm going to pass it on to as many people as possible because I want a whole bunch of money. So anyway, that was something. July has 5 Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Happens once every 823 years. It's called money bags. So pass it on, because each person you pass it to increases your abundance. Superstition or not, who cares? It's fun. People are so amazing at how they take something that can be so dismal and so suffocating. One of those things, well, let me finish my sentence. They can take something that could be very debilitating to them in the way of experience, and they turn it into something that is absolutely awesome. Well, Ashley Stanley, she lives in Massachusetts, and she said she and her mom spent a lot of time together, and she happened in the course of conversation. She said, when we're together, my mom and I, oh, we just gab. And we usually don't pay that much attention to our food. And she said, I looked down at my plate, and she said, I realized that I had more than what I needed. And she said, typically, just like most people, I'd always ask for the quote-unquote doggy bag so that I could take my food home. But she was sitting there for some reason and realizing that the food that was on her plate, usually what happened when she'd take her doggy bag home, she'd never eat it. It wasn't going to be something she'd consume, and she ended up throwing it away in the garbage. Well, she said to herself, there are so many good organizations like Feeding America. It's the nation's leading hunger relief charity. But she said, there are so many articles about people that are going hungry. Times are really tough. A lot of people have lost jobs. Families are losing homes. She said, I wonder what I could do. Well, a memory popped into her head, and she said she was only been about 8 or 9 years old, and her family had gone out for dinner, and of course they had wonderful food, and they just had a really great time. And her dad got a doggy bag so that all the leftovers could be taken home. She said her dad, when they were leaving the restaurant, took the doggy bag and set it by a homeless man. That homeless man immediately picked it up and started eating. Now, why that memory flashed back in that time, she wasn't sure. But she said, you know what? My dad understood what people were going through, and this was his way. He'd always make sure that that food went to someone. So she said she started doing some homework, and she Googled about wasted food and was astonished to learn that each year supermarkets dispose of billions of pounds of produce and baked goods that are still good to make room for fresh items on the shelves. So the next day she drove to the store, and she waited out by the dumpsters, and she asked a clerk who was wheeling out all of this stuff they were going to pitch if she could have it to bring to a soup kitchen. You know what? This guy gave it to her. He said, I hate to do this. I hate to throw all this good food away. So she drove straight to the shelter that she was aware of that was in her downtown area and gave all of this food to the workers. And they said, you know what? We serve 2,000 meals each day, and it's usually from non-perishable boxed and canned items, fresh produce we hardly ever have. So that's what her agenda became. She started calling markets. Instead of throwing away overstock, she suggested, why not let her take it to shelters? Do you know what? she founded an organization called LovingSpoonfulsInc.org. You can look it up, LovingSpoonfulsInc.org. It's a food rescue. And the managers of the stores were thrilled. Well, they went to all kinds of stores. They even found that there were farmers markets that would donate fresh fruits and vegetables, restaurants, party trays that had been left over, and it was just amazing. Now, today, there's a lot of people that assist, Ashley. There is a refrigerated van that was donated. They deliver 150 pounds of food a day to food pantries, shelters, and crisis centers, food that would otherwise have been thrown away. And her statement is this: big or small, we can always do something to help others, every one of us. And now, every night when I go home, my heart is full to know that other families' bellies are full and that their hearts are filled with hope. This is Donna Sebo. We're out of time. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Thank you so much for being with me today. We'll be here tomorrow, same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.